This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد جاءت رسلنا إبراهيم بالبشرى قالوا سلاما قال سلام فما لبث أن جاء بعجل حنيذ فلما رأى أيديهم لا تصل إليه نكرهم وأوجس منهم خيفة قالوا لا تخف إنا أرسلنا إلى قوم لوط وامرأته قائمة فضحكت فبشرناها بإسحاق ومن وراء إسحاق يعقوب قالت يا ويلتى أألد وأنا عجوز وهذا بعلي شيخا إن هذا لشيء عجيب قالوا أتعجبين من أمر الله رحمة الله وبركاته عليكم أهل البيت إنه حميد مجيد فلما ذهب عن إبراهيم الروع وجاءته البشرى يجادلنا في قوم لوط إن إبراهيم لحليم أواه منيب يا إبراهيم أعرض عن هذا إنه قد جاء أمر ربك وإنهم آتيهم عذاب غير مردود رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. My memory failed me yesterday, so I misspoke. I'm going to correct that first. This is the news of the angels that are coming and telling Ibrahim عليه السلام he's going to have a child is actually of his second child. So he's nearly 100 now, and this is about Ishaq عليه السلام. Ismail عليه السلام from his other wife Hajara has already been born, and that's 14 years before then. So that's a different account. But this is about Ishaq عليه السلام. Surat Hud now goes into further detail and tells us وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ بِالْبُشْرَى. This is a style of the Quran. The same story will be told multiple times. Each time a different angle, a different perspective will be highlighted, right? So this time our angels came, or our messengers came to Ibrahim عليه السلام with good news. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. They said سَلَامًا. We talked about that yesterday, right? So it's echoing what was said already. قَالَ سَلَامٌ. He responded with salam. فَمَا لَبِثَ أَنْ جَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ حَنِيذٍ. So he didn't take much time before he brought about fresh, juicy meat of the calf. فَلَمَّا رَآ أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ. Then when he saw that their hands aren't even going close towards the meat, نَكِرَهُمْ. He felt alienated from them. He felt something strange. وَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً. And he sensed a fear from them, which is what we talked about yesterday too. قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ. They said, don't be afraid. إِنَّا أُرْسِلْنَا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِ لُوطٍ. We have come to the people of Lut. So now Allah is actually highlighting a different dimension of the story, right? So it's as if, in this case, when they said, we have come to the people of Lut, they're now expressing that part of the story is being highlighted first. In the previous story, the part about the child was being highlighted more, right? So what happens is, last time we saw that his wife was shocked because she's going to have a child and she slaps her face and all of that. She has another reaction. When she hears that the nation of Lut alayhi salam is about to be destroyed, she says, وَمْرَأَتُهُ قَائِمَةٌ. And his wife stands up, فَضَحِكَتْ. She starts laughing. She's like, good. You know? And then, فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا بِإِسْحَاقَ. And then we gave her the good news of Ishaq. وَمِنْ وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبَ. And that even after Ishaq is born and his child is going to be Yaqub, meaning your son will be a prophet and your grandson will also be a prophet. So both news were given to her. But I want you to focus on her initial reaction. She was happy that the angels have come to the nation of Lut and there's about to be trouble. Because when angels come to a nation, then you know what's coming next, right? And she's like, got him good, you know? So that's her situation. Now, قالت, obviously she forgot about the nation of Lut. She's worried about her. How is she going to be having a child? قالت يا ويلتا ألد وأنا عجوز. She said, "Oh, what are you talking?" ويلتا is actually, ويل is a form of destruction. It's used in Arabic as an expression of shock also. So, you know, a close English equivalent nowadays would be, "Oh my goodness, are you serious?" You know, like that. "Oh my." And so she cries out and says, "ألد وأنا عجوز." I'm going to give birth and I'm an old woman. وهذا بعلي. And this is my husband. Shaykhan, he's so old. Like Shaykhan the Mansub could be, you know, out of you could say out of ta'ajjub. You could say out of had also. So you see how old he is? So she points at herself and then she points at her husband. Inna hadha la shay'un ajeeb. This is a really weird thing you people are saying. قالوا أتعجبين من أمر الله. So they said, are you shocked by Allah's command? Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahlal bayt. The rahmah, the loving care of Allah and His blessings. And the word barakat is translated as blessings, but then fadl and ni'mah are also translated as blessings. So we kind of lose track of what blessing Allah is talking about. Barakah, the verb, is used for when a camel sits down and it sinks into the ground. So this is barik al ba'ir, for example, or birkatul ba'ir, when the camel sits down and sinks in, right? And actually it has to do with ziyadah. So it has to do with increase. When you have unexpected increase in something, it's actually called barakah. So when we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for, or we say salam to each other, we say salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Notice we say salam, then we say rahmatullah, then we say what? Barakatuhu. This is the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now look at these words. The angels came, and when they came in the house, what did they say first? They said salam. And then what are they saying now? Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahlal bayt. You see that? So actually, we're echoing the initial conversation of Ibrahim alayhi salam with the angels. There's a somewhat of an echo of that every time we say salam to each other, right? And so in that salam also, rahmah I told you is an act of loving care from Allah, that you're may you be enveloped in the loving care of Allah. Barakat means may Allah give you blessings that give you more than even expected, and then more, and then more, and then more. That's barakah in something. So if you have barakah in food, you eat a little, but you're filled. You know, if you have barakah in money, you don't make a lot of money, but you're still, all your needs are taken care of. When you don't have barakah in your money, you have a lot of money and you still seem to be in debt. When you don't have barakah in your food, you have the most delicious organic food and you still have diarrhea every day. You know, you can't, because there's no barakah in the food, or there's no barakah in the income, right? So the secret ingredient of barakah is when you have it, then you get more than expected in everything, right? So he's telling them the word barakat, and obviously what a fitting context, because they're having a child at a time that is not expected, and then they're also going to be given news of a grandchild after that, Yaqub, which is not expected, right? So way more than expected is being given to them as a special rahmah, and on top of that, the barakat of Allah. Alaykum on you, Ahlul Bayt, people of the family. So this family is especially blessed. Obviously, the blessings of this family extend. Why? Because Yaqub alayhi salam has 12 sons. Among those 12 sons is Yusuf alayhi salam. Those 12 sons settle down in Egypt and become Banu Israel. Among them, you get Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. And then all of the prophets of the Israelites come in that family. So these barakat will continue. According to one narration, kullama halaka nabiyun khalafa nabiyun. Every time a prophet of the Israelites would die, another would take his place. Every generation of them had a prophet. So the prophethood continues and continues and continues since this good news, these barakat that came to the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Innahu hamidun majid. Certainly Allah is worthy of praise always. And He is majestic, glorified. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الرَّوْعُ. And so when Ibrahim alayhi salam got over the shock and the shocking fear left him, وَجَاءَتْهُ الْبُشْرَى, and the good news had already come to him about the child, يُجَادِلُنَا فِي قَوْمِ لُوطٍ. He starts debating with us in the matter of the nation of Lut. So this is actually one of the most remarkable things we learn about Ibrahim alayhi salam in his entire career. In his entire career, we learn, like, this is one of the most special places. Ibrahim alayhi salam in the beginning describes that he has ultimate love only for Allah Azza wa Jalla. لا أحب الآفلين. Right? I cannot love those that disappear. So he, وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض. You know, and then so I'm going to turn my face towards Allah. الذي خلقني فهو يهدي. Complete and utter reliance on Allah. And then so much trust in Allah that when they are throwing him in the fire, he has no problem being thrown in the fire because it's for who? It's for life. This is what Allah wants. This is what's going to happen. And in fact, by the time this story happens, right around the time of this story, another story has already happened. What's that other story? His younger son Ismail was already of age. And when he was of age where he could run around with his dad, then that is when Allah commanded him to slaughter that child, which is another story we're going to read, right? And what did Ibrahim alayhi salam, did he argue with Allah about, Ya Allah, is there any other way? Is there any other thing I can do instead of slaughtering my child? No, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. We will read about that too. They both surrendered. They didn't argue back. Ismail didn't argue back. Ibrahim didn't argue back, alayhi salam. But now, the angels have come, and they're going to destroy who? The nation of Lut. And they're about to go destroy the nation of Lut, and he starts arguing. He starts arguing for in the case of the nation of Lut, alayhi salam. I'll read the narration associated with this to you tomorrow, inshallah, but I want you to understand the point here. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah put a special love for humanity in him. And his wife doesn't even have it. His wife hears that those people are going to get destroyed. What is she doing? She's like she's doing her own takbir. She's like, you know, tahikat. She started getting happy. Good, those people deserve it. They should die. You know, I hope they burn, etc. That's her reaction. But Ibrahim alayhi salam has something special inside him. And what is that special thing? Inna Ibrahima lahalimun awwahun munibun. Ibrahim alayhi salam is making dua for, and I told you yesterday that the nation of Lut is a nation Allah is more angry with them than any other nation. Allah destroyed them in ways He didn't destroy any other nation. That's evident in the Quran. It's absolutely clear. And the disgust that their prophet had with them is different than any other prophet. Is absolutely any other prophet. And yet, Ibrahim alayhi salam is arguing with Allah. No, there's got to be a way. They don't have to be destroyed. Maybe there's still hope. There's some way we can rescue them. What are we learning from that is an important dichotomy. And that dichotomy I have to try and dissect with you guys, inshallah, over the next couple of days. Look, Muslims are in a strange place as the world, you know, changes and the, you know, liberal concepts and progressive concepts have taken hold in the world, and issues like gender identity, LGBT, homosexuality, etc. These are ideas that are now proliferated, and these are benchmarks of whether or not you're a tolerant person, whether or not you are a you're accepting enough of, you know, human values, right? Of equality, of justice. Right? Are you bigoted or not? Is your religion teaching bigotry or not? These are the situations that university students around the world are put in. This is the situation in workplaces now, right? This is the new reality. And if this is the new reality in 2022, I can only imagine what 2042 is going to look like, right? That's the reality we live in. What did the Quran teach us about, first of all, our balanced approach to this issue? The sin of people, the anger for a sin of people, the anger belongs with Allah. So Allah has a right to be angry with humanity for what they do. Our Rabb does not have to explain to you or me why he likes something or why he doesn't like something. He can declare to me what makes him angry. So I'll give you another example of that from a theological point of view. For a Muslim, we know whenever someone says Allah has taken a son, Allah says it makes him so angry that the heavens and the earth, the heavens recognize the rage of Allah every time that people say, "And da'u lirrahmani waladan, takadu samawatu yatafattarna." The seven skies are on the verge of tearing open just at hearing the words that Allah has taken a son. This is how angry it makes Allah when someone says Allah has taken a son. And this is the anger of Allah. But the anger of Allah cannot become my anger. those same Christians who say Allah has taken a son came and stayed in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi when they came to discuss with the Prophet ﷺ. And they prayed to Jesus in their own way. Where did they pray? In Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. While they stayed there. These were Christian monks. They engaged in their Christian worship inside the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ is having discussions with them. Ayat are being revealed and they're engaged with them. You know what that is? The anger of Allah is a separate issue. And the ihsan and the care and the love with which a believer speaks to someone is a those are two separate issues. They're not to be mixed with each other. Let me tell you the psychological side of this. I said this many years ago. I think it's worth remembering for myself and for all of you. Imagine any of you has, you know, a couple of kids, right? And you're mad at your older son. Why did you lie? I told you not to do that, and you did it anyway, and you didn't tell me. You're angry at your older son, and your younger son comes along and says, yeah, why'd you do that? Hold on a second. Dad is angry. The little kid does not have the right, well, my dad's angry, so I got passionate too. No, it's not your place. That is only for dad. And then if you do get angry like that, who's dad going to be angry at next? Excuse me? Who do you think you are? We already have a parent in this household. Why do you think you can talk to your brother like that? Do you understand? And that's just because there's a hierarchy and there's someone in the hierarchy has a right to be angry. The people at the bottom of that hierarchy, even in a family, they don't have a right to be angry. Allah has a right to be angry with His slaves. And He expresses that politically incorrectly. The Quran is politically incorrect. Let's be obvious about that. He's very angry with certain forms of shirk. He's very angry with certain kinds of, you know, behavior. There's no hiding it. But at the same time, we are the religion of our father who? Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah, he lived a very long life. You guys know that, right? And of that very long life, Allah only mentions some small scenes. You can imagine of his life, we only get a glimpse of one day here, a little piece of a day here, a little piece of a day here, a little piece of a day here. Which pieces of his life is Allah going to choose? The pieces that will guide us until judgment day. There's so much of his life Allah didn't tell us. What was Ibrahim alayhi salam doing in his 20s? What was he doing in his 30s? What was he doing in his 40s? What was he doing in his 50s? We don't know. Allah chose not to tell. You know, you can find biblical research or whatever else. Why did Quran not speak about it? Quran only tells us things that will guide us. So He chose from His life highlights that are absolutely essential for us. So Allah deems it absolutely essential, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we know that on the one hand, Allah is extremely angry with the nation of Lut. And on the other hand, Ibrahim alayhi salam is arguing for the people of Lut. He's arguing for them. Even though his wife is what? Is happy. She's happy that they're going to be destroyed. We are the religion of our father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Our job is to actually be concerned for humanity. Our job is to actually not look at anybody else with spiteful eyes or be happy that they're being destroyed or bad is coming towards them. That's not our job. That's not our job. But just because we are kind and merciful towards someone, we can't surrender what we believe either. I can't tell you that I agree with it, because if I say I disagree with it, it'll hurt your feelings. Well, Islam hurt a lot of feelings. Islam hurt a lot of feelings of the Quraysh. Some of them really loved their idols and hurt their feelings. So it is politically incorrect. It is socially unacceptable in some things that Allah says. It may not be acceptable by the majority. It may not be acceptable by you know, large groups. That's not the point. I am entitled, if anyone, and by the way, in this new age, if anyone is entitled to their beliefs, they're entitled to their ideas, they're entitled to their principles, they're entitled to hold on to certain values, then and we have this concept before anybody else, la ikraha fid deen, there's no compulsion in deen. We're actually it's part of our sacred doctrine to actually have freedom of thought. Right? You can't force someone into the religion. Well, nobody can force their values on us either then. You understand? I can't shape what I believe to make it palatable to somebody else. I can't. But that's, even if I believe something to be utterly wrong, that does not change my attitude towards them. I don't Their judgment is with Allah. There, and the action, I can say the action I don't agree with. The person, Ibrahim alayhi salam, is worried about people. To the point where he's actually debating with the angels about rescuing the people of Lut alayhi salam. يُجَادِلُونَ فِي They're going to get destroyed? No, there's got to be a way. And Allah waited a point to mention that. And then described, and we're going to spend time on these three qualities tomorrow inshallah, three qualities along with the narration, three qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam that are mentioned in ayah number 75. And why are these qualities important? Because again, millata abikum Ibrahim, we are the religion of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. So when we see people, sinners, others, we from Allah's point of view, sinful behavior, non-believers, everyone else in the world, when we see them, we have to see them from a certain lens. And that lens will be developed when we develop these three qualities, halim, awwah, munib. When we develop these three qualities, then we get to see the word of Allah Azza wa Jal play out. So may Allah Azza wa Jal give us clarity on His word. May Allah give us commitment and courage to stand by the word of Allah no matter what. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ No matter who hates it. But may Allah Azza wa Jal also not make us self-righteous and think that the anger of Allah can translate into our own anger. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات